Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, to whom all blessings flow. Welcome to this place of restoration.
Happy New Year, courtesy of Restoration Place and the King James Radio Network.
Restoration Christian Ministries presents Pastor John Bazemore, Jr.
To be able to introduce this awesome man of God, and we just
want to
greet him, amen, with a hearty amen. Let's greet our pastor with a hearty amen.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm excited. I'm glad to see that you guys are excited. It's a brand new year.
Yes, amen.
And I'm not calling it the year of anything. I don't do that. It's just a good year. Whatever you believe in God is going to do, that's what's going to happen.
Yes.
I think I put that out on Facebook, and I truly believe that.
Yes.
This year will be the year that you believe that it will be.
Yes.
No more and no less. So we're excited about this brand new year. As Pastor said, we were just remiss because I don't remember us ever not having a watch night service. So. But praise God anyway, we're here.
Amen.
We're grateful that we're here, and we really are expecting some amazing things this year. I'm expecting them not because it's 2016, but I'm expecting them because they started in 2015. So I'm just expecting a to be continued as this year goes forth. So we're just excited about what God is doing, and I want to share a word with you today, particularly going into the new year. I think, you know, the realm that we've been in, we want to continue that. But there are some things that I'm looking to happen. As Pastor said, we are excited and we're grateful for the people that God sent in 2015, but we're expecting a whole lot more this year.
Yes.
And we're not just expecting it, but we have to produce the activities that will get it.
Right.
We're not going to sit down and just believe God and touch seat, but we have to get out there and work.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about some of that on today. So let's bow our heads, and we're just going to say a word of prayer over this word that we're about to receive to nurse our spirits. Father, we thank you today for everything that you're doing. We thank you that we're in a brand new year.
Yes.
This is a brand new day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in it. We are grateful and we're excited about the prospect of what you're going to do for us and in us this year by your Spirit. So we pray, Father, now that I would decrease and Holy Spirit may increase. That your word will come forth in power under the anointing. And I believe that people will be healed, delivered, and set free from every yoke and bondage. I thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So again, you might have your seats. Again, we're just grateful to what God is doing. I'm excited about this brand new year. I'm excited about what I believe the Lord is going to do. And as I said previously, God is going to do no more, no less than what you believe he's going to do. You know that God can do things, and if you don't believe it, you won't see it. You know, but those who have faith and believe that God is going to do certain things, the manifestation of what he's doing will be seen by those people that believe.
Yeah.
But some people that don't believe, it's sort of like, I forget who the minister was, but he was talking about Jesus appeared in a service. And there were those that were there that didn't believe that Jesus could manifest, and they didn't see him. And they didn't see him because they didn't believe that he could do it. But for those that did believe, they did see him. It wasn't just one person. They did see him. And they saw angels, you know, going in the atmosphere and laying hands on people. They saw these things. So I believe God's going to do a lot more of that as these years go by. Because how many of you know that the return of the Lord is imminent? It's close. So we've got to be busy. You know, in the New Testament, I think it was in the book of Thessalonians. Paul had to admonish them to continue to do the things that they were supposed to do because they thought the rapture was going to come any day, and they just stopped working. They just pretty much closed up shop and, you know, sold homes and property and whatever else, and they just thought the Lord was coming. That was 2,000 years ago. So, saints, he's not coming yet, but his return is imminent. But it's not right now. I remember watching the movie, what's that movie you like? Gladiator. And right at the end, there's two guys that were friends. The one had died at, what was his name, honey?
Maximus.
I knew she'd remember. Maximus. Maximus had died, and the friend that had been his friend throughout the movie, he said, I'm coming with you. I'll see you again, but not right now. So we're going to see the Lord again, but not right now. So until that time, look at your name and say, we got work to do.
We got work to do.
We got a lot of work to do. So, again, I want to start out today kind of following up on something. I was sharing some of it, actually, with Co-Pastor last night. Sometimes when God gives you a word, it's not just so much a word that you're going to feel like you got to preach, but you feel like you need to talk about because it's something that's important. It's something that I believe we need to grab a hold of and take into this new year as we're moving forward. If you have your Bibles, open to the book of three places, Isaiah 40:31. It's the first scripture that we're going to start at, then Galatians 6:9, and then John 10:10. So let's start out with Isaiah 40:31. They that wait on the Lord, I don't even have to look, I know this, it's one of my favorites. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and shall not faint. Theodore Roosevelt, I wrote this quote down. I don't know where I saw it first, but I think it's very appropriate for what we're talking about today. He made a quote. He said, when a critical decision has to be made, the best thing that you can do is the right thing. The next best thing that you can do is the wrong thing. But the absolute worst thing that you can do is to do nothing. In my life's journey and observations, learning, and you know that learning that believers in Christ, and I kind of said this to Darlene because I was kind of wanted to run it by her to see what her reaction would be. Because sometimes when you're going to minister something, you want to make sure that you're clear on what you're saying. So I'm going to explain these things because it might be a terminology that you may not be quite familiar with. So I want to take the time to explain it to you because I really want to talk to you today because I want us to grab a hold of this. So that moving forward, we can kind of have a template of what we need to do in 2016. So in my life journey, I'm learning and I'm seeing that believers in Christ can sometimes be what I call passively powerful, but actively inept. Passively powerful, but actively inept. Let me give you an example of that. I noticed, particularly being on social media, that You get a lot of people that say a lot of things. Yeah, how many of y'all have noticed that? We get a lot of people that are very deep online. You know, a lot of people, that's what they do. That's how they're trying to make their name. They go online. They may not have a title. They may not even be a part of anybody's ministry. They may not have submitted themselves to anybody's leader. But yet they go online and they can be passively powerful because you don't really know them, that their words have not really been challenged. They're not really going out doing anything, but they're in this particular medium where it's safe, and they can seem very powerful in what they're saying, but not so much in what they're doing. I'll give you another example. The rich young ruler, many of us remember the story. He was obviously a young man that was rich. Obviously had a lot. He was probably used to growing up with a lot, you know, growing up having things. So I guess he figured, you know, he'd been taught the right things all of his life. So when he heard about, and I'm not saying now, I'm kind of just envisioning this. This is not something that I'm reading from the Bible, but I'm envisioning that, you know, he knew he had been raised the right way. Because how many of you know that there are people that are raised in good homes and people that are raised in homes that not so ideal. But he knew that he had been raised in a pretty much ideal situation, so he knew everything that he was supposed to do. So when he heard about Jesus, you know, the things that he had done, and he heard that he was coming in town, I'm sure that he availed himself so that he could make contact with him. Now, you got to understand, in this scenery, there was a crowd of people that was there. So now he took the opportunity, you know, being a crowd, you know, he was very, now I call this passively powerful, because he really hadn't had the opportunity for anybody to challenge him. He really had no opportunity for anybody to say, well, you know what, he never had that, because he seemingly did everything right. You know, he had everything, he had a great life. So here comes this person that he wanted to validate himself in front of everybody. So now he runs into Jesus and he asked him, good master. Now here's the thing. And Jesus saw right through that. Do you not know that God knows your motives? How many of y'all know that God knows your motives? Now you can say the things that you want to say, but the Bible says that he knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. So now he looked right through these words. The first thing that Jesus said to him was what? Why are you calling me good? Why are you trying to butter me up? You know, what do you mean, good master? You know, why are you trying to butter me up? Then he went on to say, well, what shall I do? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? So, and I thought it was interesting, Trey, that Jesus even responded to that, because you can't really, not what you do to inherit eternal life, it's what you believe. But Jesus played the game with him, nigga. He said, well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your might, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Then he said, well, I have done all of these things from my youth. So I'm sure at that moment, he was really feeling real good about himself. Because you got to understand, everybody was looking. Now, you know, how many of y'all know that everybody knows the rich folks? So when they come up amongst the common people, the regular people, it's like a big deal, because that's not normally what they do. So he decided to make an appearance. So I have done these things for my youth. So can't you see the result? I mean, of course, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my strength, and all my mind. I love my neighbor and myself. The evidence is I have accumulated a lot. Jesus said, rightly so. You have done all of that. He said, but one thing you are lacking. Look at your neighbor and say, one thing.
One thing.
He said, one thing you're lacking. Go and sell all that you have. Distribute it to the poor, then come back and follow me. Now, I want you to see something here. He didn't say, okay, Lord, I'll be right back. But the Bible says that he walked away sad because he had a whole lot. So, whenever you are passively powerful, it basically means what you have or what you're believing has not been challenged. But now to be actively powerful, it basically means that there is a risk involved. There is a risk of loss involved. You cannot be a believer, a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, unless you are willing to lose something. How many of y'all know that's true?
Amen.
You really got to be put in a position where you are going to lose something. Sometimes you might lose your reputation. Sometimes you might lose family members who don't like the fact that you are following the Lord. Now, a passively powerful person, they will do all the things they're supposed to do until what they believe is challenged. That's when you really find out, Cheryl, who's with you and who's not with you. You see, passivity, or however you say that, passivity, is not how you say it, school teacher, but being passive, that's easier. Being passive. You know, it's safe. And many of us live in the safe mode. We don't want to do anything that's going to risk. You know, we don't want to do anything that's going to bring too much attention to ourselves, because we want to be powerful, but we want to be passive. Now, those two things don't work together. Let me go a little further. Most of the New Testament, the miracles that Jesus did involved people doing something. Let me tell you something. And I said this at the onset. You cannot get from where you are to where you want to be doing the same thing. You have got, at some point in time, you have got to realize that moving from one level to the next, how many of y'all know it involves risk? You've got to do something that everybody else is not willing to do. Let me give you an example. Now, the five wise virgins, they filled their lamps. But now the Bible talks about 10 virgins, doesn't it? He said there were 5 that were wise, and there were 5 that were foolish. Now, let me tell you the difference. The 5 that were wise, they were actively powerful, which basically means this.
They believed something. They believed that the bridegroom was coming back, and they knew that their lamps had to be filled, so they did not wait for him to get back, but they prepared themselves before he came back. You cannot be getting ready for the Lord to return. You've got to be ready. You've got to, when that time comes, when the trumpet is blown, you've got to be ready. Now, the five foolish virgins, they're just like a lot of people, a lot of believers that I know. They say they believe, but they do nothing. Listen, when the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Uh-huh. Here's the problem. Many of us think waiting on the Lord means sitting down doing nothing. That's not what that word means. That word is actually a verb in Hebrew, and it means to wait as to serve. How many of y'all ever been to a restaurant you were waited on by a waiter? Now, let me ask a question. Does the waiter come up to your table and wait for you to serve him, or does he serve you? He serves you. That's what a waiter does. So now, when the Bible talks about they that wait upon the Lord, it means this. They that are waiting upon the Lord. You're serving God. Those that are waiting for your blessing. Those that are waiting for your vision. You are serving that vision. You talk to that vision. You declare to that vision. You water that vision. You expose that vision because you are expecting something to return. Waiting on the Lord never involves sitting down doing nothing.
My God.
I have never seen in the Word of God where anybody was commended by the Lord for sitting down doing nothing. If you want to be in God's army, you've got to be a person that's willing to fight. Guys, listen. You don't put on the armor of God to go to a fashion show. You put it on to go to a fight. Do y'all understand it?
Yes.
The armor of God is put on to go to a fight. You are to engage the enemy. So now, the five wise virgins. Now, what about the 10 lepers? Every one of these examples, they had to do something. The 10 lepers, they were healed. The Bible said, as they went on their way to show themselves to the high priest, he didn't heal them right on the spot. They had to believe that they were healed, but then they had to do something. They had to obey instructions. Guys, listen, let me tell you something. Being in the corporate world for a long time, many, many years of my life, I've learned one thing. If you do not learn how to follow instructions, you will not get the results that you're looking for, nor will you get promoted because people can't trust you. If you're going to be trusted with things, you've got to learn to follow instructions. I heard this young man giving his testimony this morning about his son. But now, let me tell you why your son does need you. He needs guidance. He needs direction. He needs instruction. That's your job. You are not to worry about how he receives the instructions. Your job is to give the instructions. Now, some of the things you say to your kids, they're going to ignore you. I got a call from one of my daughters. I'm not going to tell y'all which one it was last night. I got a call from one of my daughters last night, and I said, Dad, I'm just so frustrated. All my graces, they just getting on my last nerve. Is it ever going to go away, Dad? I said, don't you remember?
Yeah.
You don't remember being a teenager? I said, God, I thank you for payback. No, I'm just joking. No, I'm really not joking. But this is what happens. You know, it may seem as though the things that you're going through at the moment, you know, you're wondering, well, why do I even have to go through this? And it's like Co-Pastor said, it's because God trusts you. So your job is to follow instructions, and God's job is to watch you follow instructions and then give you the things that you're believing for. The army of Gideon did not win that fight because they outnumbered the enemy. They won because they followed instructions. They did something. Let me go a little further. The water was turned into wine at the first miracle. That was Jesus' first miracle that he performed. But now, check this out. Jesus had nothing to do. That was not his time. So when his mother came to them and said, we're out of wine. And Jesus said, woman, why are you, and he called her woman, why are you telling me this? And she didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, Jesus. She just kind of completely ignored. She pulled the mama card. She completely ignored what her son said. And she went to the servant and said, listen, whatever he tells you to do, you do that. But now, the key word there is whatever he tells you to do. That means they had to do something. The water would not have turned into wine if they had not gotten vessels and poured the water in. They had to do something. something. Are y'all getting where I'm going with this? Peter had to launch out into the deep. This is what I shared with Darlene last night. It would have been something if he had not followed instructions. Let me tell you why. First of all, if he's a fisherman, if you're a fisherman and you go out into the deep without net, you're a big dummy. You're not even a fisherman, you're just a big dummy. Let me tell you why. How in the world are you expecting a big haul of fish and you don't even have nets to pull them in? And see, this is how we are sometimes. We are believing God to do something, but we are not even prepared to receive it. I mean, are we really prepared to receive the thing that God wants to give to us? Imagine, first of all, when a fisherman fishes, he fishes in the shallow water so he can bring more fish in. But Jesus said, no, 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 launch out into the deep. Now, many times God will give us instructions, and how many of y'all have ever argued with God? Now, tell the truth. Tell the truth or shame the devil. You know you have. You know you have. But now, Peter could have done that, but he said, okay, that's right, Trey. Me too. But Peter could have said, well, no, I'm the fisherman. Now, you are the fisher of men, but I'm the fisher of fish. You don't tell me to launch out into the deep because you can't catch fish that way. But Jesus said, launch out into the deep, and all Peter was there was at your word. So now, he launched out there, but now imagine him launching out into the deep and getting out there holding the net pad in his hands and looking at all of the harvest right there in front of him and having no way to pull it in because he did not follow instructions. Guys, listen. What God has for you is right there in front of you. But sometimes we are forgetting to cast our net in the water. How many of y'all know it's frustrating to look at the harvest and can't get it? Anybody in here know what I'm talking about besides me? Have you ever just looked at the harvest? You see it right there in front of you, but here's the problem. You're standing there with the net, the way to pull it in, you're standing there with it in your hands.
My God.
At some point, we got to realize we've got to cast the net in the water to pour the harvest in. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When Peter walked on the water, how many of you know that he had to get out of the boat? You can't walk on the water inside of the boat, folks. You got to get out of the boat. You got to get. Now, listen again. I'm talking about being actively powerful. Now, if you're going to be passively powerful, you can say all the good things that Peter said, Trey, and stay in the boat. That's passive powerful. Because he could have said it and just stayed in the boat and waited for the Lord to come to him. See, many of us are waiting for the blessing to come to us. But you know what I'm learning? Many of us are not waiting for a blessing. We're waiting for a gift. See, a gift is what's given to you. A blessing, you have to follow instructions to get it. You got to do something. A gift, I got a couple of gifts for Christmas. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to earn it. I didn't get it because I'm worthy. But I got it because they wanted to give it to me. It had nothing to do with me. But now my blessing is different. My blessing comes on my ability to follow instructions without fainting. Be not weary. And while doing, before I go there, let me go someplace else. Here's Darlene's favorite scripture. The woman with the issue of blood. She could not. First of all, she was not allowed to touch a rabbi.
My God.
She was not allowed to do that. That was against the law. Secondly, she was not even allowed to be outside in her physical condition bleeding because she was considered to be unclean. But now, when you want a gift, you stay in the house because you know that you're not allowed to be outside. But when you want a blessing, you make your way through the crowd.
Yes, yes.
You don't wait for everybody else. You make your way through the crowd. Be I get arrested, I am not going to be passive. I got to make my way through the crowd to get the thing that I know I need.
Yes, hallelujah.
The invalid that was healed at the pool of Bethesda.
My God.
Jesus didn't say, be healed, and he grabbed him and picked him up and took his bed. He said what? Pick up your bed. Mm-hmm. Pick up your bed and walk. Why did he say that, honey? Because he had to do something.
Yeah.
Guys, listen, you got to get this thing. God is going to bless you, but there are some things that we have to do.
Yeah.
And we have to do them consistently, over and over, when it makes no sense. I have the biggest problem with that. Is anybody here have a problem with that besides me? I mean, it looks like you're just doing it over and over and over and over and over, and nothing is happening. But what you don't understand, when you are actively powerful, you're going to come against demon foes that you did not have come against before. 5,000. Now get this. He could have said, Trey, everybody sit down, or everybody just stay where you are. He could have blessed the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and then he could have went out and started handing it to the 5,000 men and the women and children. So it's a lot more than 5,000 there. But he didn't do that. He gave them specific instructions. And God, you really got to get this. Because I want you to understand, you know, and I'm saying it to you like I want you to understand, but I have to understand as well. There are things that we have to do before God moves on our behalf. He told them this, divide them up into companies of 50, structure. Can you imagine a whole bunch of hungry folks? You know, you just put food out there, sort of like a buffet where everybody goes for themselves. Darlene and I went to a buffet, yes, was it last week, wasn't it? Wasn't it last week when we went to that?
No.
Week before last?
It was like a couple of weeks
ago. No. The recent one that we went to. We just went to an affair where they had the food laid out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they had all the food laid out, but now they said the only ones that can come and eat, they have to have a green wristband around their arm, or they have to have a green ticket. What do you call that? You call that order. You call that structure. Now, they had to follow instructions, but wouldn't you know there were people that got in line, got right to the door, after hearing, I just said, and you know what I thought about, after hearing the instructions, plain as day, I mean, they said it to everybody. They emailed it, they texted, they said it while they were there. They made the announcement before you got in line. Sure enough, people stood in line for about 20 minutes and got to the door, and they didn't have no wristband and they didn't have no ticket.
Yeah.
And they said, well, why do I have to get out of line? You got to get out of line, you big dummy, because you didn't follow instructions. I mean, and this is how we are. There are things that God's going to give us, but we've got to follow instructions.
Yeah.
The 5,000 were fed. Lazarus was raised from the dead.
Uh-huh.
But Jesus made him walk in grave clothes. Now, that's kind of crazy, isn't it, Trey? Because you can kind of envision things like I can. Can you imagine Lazarus getting raised from the dead? Now, you would think, if you're going to raise a brother from the dead, just take the grave clothes off so I can be able to walk. But he didn't do that. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't say angels undress Lazarus so he can come forth. He said, Lazarus, come forth. So he had to come just like he was. That is uncomfortable. If you're going to move in the blessings of God, you've got to make yourself sometimes uncomfortable. You got to put yourself in a place that you just don't want to be. Most of the time when people say they're waiting for their blessing, like I said, they're waiting for a gift. Now, Galatians 6:9. The enemy, be not, well, let me say the verses. Be not weary, for be ye not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not or you don't give up. The enemy's main goal is to make you weary. You got to get this. His goal is to make you weary. And when the Spirit of God was ministering this to me last night, I really thought about that, because just before I started talking to Darlene about what I wanted to talk about, we were talking about something else. Do you remember? And I was saying, I'm not going to do it. In 2016, I'm not going through this. I'm not going to put up with this. And I went through all of that. And right after that, the Spirit of God gave me Galatians 6:9. I'm thinking about not giving up. And no. It's not about not giving up. It's about not being weary. Because weary, let me tell you what weariness does. Weariness makes you vulnerable. It makes you vulnerable. Now, what does it mean to be vulnerable? That means something that didn't bother you before, couldn't get to you before, will get to you now. When that happens, you will know right then that you're growing weary, that your defenses are going out. How many of you have ever been in that spot before? Well, you know you're vulnerable because things that wouldn't bother you before, it just sets you off. I know, because I'm there. You know why I preach this so passionately right now? Because I'm right there. I'm serious. I'm right there. There are things that I talk to Darlene about things, and sometimes Darlene will do this. She just sit back, Pat, and she just look at me, and she just smile. And I just be like, I just be going on and on. And she just look at me and just smile, just like she did last night. She said, well, honey, you know, y'all know her temperament. Well, honey, you know, I've seen you like this before, and I just kind of, you know,
I know you're going to be all right. Some God will give somebody a word for you, and then you'll be like, oh, I don't believe I was acting like that. And sure enough, now you're 15 minutes later, the Holy Spirit talked to me about being weary. Guys, listen, being weary makes you vulnerable. Being weary makes you angry. Makes you angry. That's weariness. That's what it is, being weary. It's weariness. I've lived all of these things before. And I think God allowed me to suffer these things so that I can recognize them when I see them. I know what it feels like to be weary. I'm telling you, I know what it feels like to be weary. And I haven't talked about this in a while, but let me tell you something. Though I don't regret the situation that I had before with Sister Jan, I really understand what weariness means now. Because weariness is not that you are sick of the person. It has nothing to do with the person, zero to do with the person. But it means that situation has become so heavy on you that you feel like you can't carry the load anymore. So you just grow weary, which means when you're walking this way, now you start walking this way. And do you not know when you walk bending down that it affects the way you see things, it affects the way you speak, and it affects the way you receive things? Did y'all know that? That's what weariness does. It makes you get in a place where you can't even see the way that you normally see. You can't even talk the way that you normally talk. And you can't receive the way that you normally receive. Weariness brings submission. If you give in to weariness, you eventually will say, I give. And do you not know that's what the enemy wants? John 10 and 10. Let's see, did I put that scripture aside? John 10 and 10, let's go there. Yeah, I'm using my cell phone Bible. Now I'm good. John 10 and 10, this is real quick. Now, these are the words of Jesus. Jesus wants us to know how to recognize when the enemy is in something. So he gave us his mode of operation. And this is what he said. First of all, he called the enemy a thief. How many of y'all have lived that? How many of you know that he really is a thief?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said this. I'm waiting for my phone. You got it? I got it. Thank you, baby. The thief comes not but to kill, To steal, to kill, and destroy. Did y'all get that? To steal, to kill, and destroy. So now, to steal means to take what you have, kill your dream and your vision. Now, what does he do to destroy your future generations? Because see, what dies in you dies in Nehemiah, dies in Jeremiah, dies in... Never. I couldn't remember a name. But that is what is destroyed. So now we gotta understand this is the enemy's mode of operation. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Now I believe personally that the Garden of Eden started all of this. Satan is not a creator. You know that. He's not a creator. So don't ever think that he's so smart that he don't create anything. He's a copycat. He's very good at it. He's very good at being a thief. But he's not a creator. In the Garden of Eden, his sole mission was to separate mankind, Adam and Eve, from God, that fellowship. He didn't want them to have that. So he got in between that because, you know, eventually, Trey and I talked about this before, his goal was to get in the bloodline so that Jesus couldn't come and do what he needed to do. That was his goal. I mean, you go back to the Anakin and the giants and he, you know, what is that, Genesis chapter 6. All of that is the enemy trying to get in, even with homosexuality. It's the enemy trying to get in the bloodline to destroy the work that Jesus would do when he came on the earth 2,000 years later. That was the whole thing. But now he lied and he continues to lie. Jesus said this also. He gave us a full description so we can really recognize. No excuse for not knowing when the enemy is working. He said he's a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. He is the father of lies, and there is no truth in him. Yes.
I mean, so do we have to wonder, well, it's another white lie? No, no, white lie is a lie. A lie is a lie. The enemy is going to lie to you. He's going to make it seem good, just like he did with Adam and Eve. Well, God didn't really say that you can't eat of the tree. Now, and then what happens? Eve's on and with it. He said, well, yeah, we can't eat the tree, neither can we touch it. Now, nobody told why they couldn't touch it. But see, this is what happens when we add to the word of God. If you're going to be actively powerful, you got to be in the place where you're willing to listen and then willing to do. How many of y'all want to see this ministry grow in 2016?
Amen.
I mean, do you really want to see that?
Yes.
Now, I know I hear amen, but do you really? Because, see, if you really mean that, that means everything that we have not done, we've got to be doing that.
Yes.
That means we got to inconvenience ourselves. Yes. That means we got to make a sacrifice. We've got to do things that we have not been doing. And when I say we, that includes me. We've got to do things that we have not been doing before. I don't know about you. I cannot be satisfied just doing this. It's not enough. I'm serious, it's not enough. I believe that God has more for us. I believe that we have some of the best members in the world.
Yes, amen.
And my goal is to expose y'all to everybody that I can.
Yes.
I'm serious about this. Listen, you guys just don't know how I talk about you. You just don't. I mean, and I know, you know, some pastors, they have great big ministries, and I applaud that. But I love so much what I have right here in Restoration.
Yes, amen.
And I want the world to be, because heaven already knows. Heaven knows about our worship. It's time for restoration. We have pure worship. We've got love in this place. Heaven knows who you are, but I want the world to know who you are.
Amen.
Because people need to see. Listen, how many of y'all know that women, the number one thing that I hear from women, I'm just looking for somebody that's real. I get so much faith, just give me somebody that's real. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Give me somebody that's real. If we're going to be actively powerful, that means the things that we have not been doing, we've got to be willing to do those things. Now, I've said it before, you will see the evidence of this in 2016. I'm telling you right now. Are you recording this? Okay. Everybody that listens to this, I want them to hear this. I put myself on the spot. Now, let me say it even better than that, Brother Trey. I put God on the spot because he's faithful to his word.
Yes.
2016 is going to be a year like we've never seen before. The things that we've been waiting for, the manifestation of those things are going to come forth. Because now, we were not passive in the past. We've been very active, but we need to become even more active. We've got to be willing to put everything on the line.
Yeah.
Are you willing to do that?
Yes. Amen.
Y'all stand up for a second.
Amen.
Stand up. Everybody stand. I was watching, who was it, Golden State and Cleveland. Did you see that game? Did you see that game? Cleveland was supposed to be the team that would take Golden State down. Obviously, she's not a big LeBron James fan. But they were supposed to be the team that would take Golden State down. Eventually, it ended up being a team that really didn't have a chance of taking them down, but they did it anyway. But the team that was supposed to do it, they were supposed to be the team that would take them down. When your focus is so strong and your work ethic is so good, you see, you can be confident about certain things when you know you're doing the things that you're supposed to do. That's when confidence comes. You can't be confident, particularly when you're going to be in a fight. You ever been in a fight?
Is this a mic here?
But if you've been in a fight, and I'm sure this is what everybody here has, there's a level of...
Her either.
Well, no, yes, she has. Yes, she has. But there's a level of confidence that you can have when you know certain things that you're able to do. Now, based on what you know you can do, it's not important what the other guy can do. I mean, he might wipe you out, but you don't believe it before you fight. You do not believe it. You do not go into a fight thinking, he's going to whoop me good. I've been in a few fights, and I've never been in a fight where I went into it thinking, well, actually, one time I did.
I was a little, I was a little intoxicated in the military band. I was a little intoxicated, and, you know, sometimes, what did Theodore Roosevelt say? The best when we're going to make a decision, the best decision that we can make is the right decision. Well, I was very intoxicated, you know, I was back in 73. I was about 155 pounds soaking wet, and I was with this girl. I have no idea who it was. I don't even know if she's in the military or not. But this guy came in and started talking to her, started talking trash and pulling on her. I wasn't even with her. I was just sitting at the bar drinking. So I said, you know what, that's it, outside. This guy was like 6'3", 225 pounds. Yeah. And I was intoxicated, so I really couldn't run. Because I think if I was sober enough to run, I would have ran. Because he was a big man. He was a real big man. So that was the only fight tree that I went into knowing he would be good. And you never train, he would be good. But normally, you don't go into a fight thinking you're going to lose. You see, a friend of mine said something years ago. He's not even with the Lord now. And it's amazing. That's what I'm talking about, being passively powerful. He ran into this girl. He was in Louisiana. And she was a witch. Witches are real, folks. They're real. So we have more power, but it doesn't mean they don't have any power. So she, because that leaves tissue all over my forehead. Ghetto. The ghetto. So she came up to him because I guess something had happened. I guess she liked him and she liked the way he handled the situation. So she came up to him and she started cursing him. Like placing on whatever they, what do you call those things?
Spell.
Going to place a hex or a spell on him. So it was amazing what he did, though. And walked right in her face and said to her, I'm not afraid of you. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in you. That's being actively powerful. You've got to know who you have residing on the inside of you. See, believers don't... I was reading this, and I think I shared this with you guys before. I was reading this thing where these believers got all their head. They was on the beach. Did y'all see this? It's actually on YouTube. They got their heads cut off. They showed it. But it was like a bunch of them, and they had these little white gowns on. And they made them get on their knees and they severed their heads because they refused to bow down to Allah. They refused to do it. They said, Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. You see, a passive person would say, girl, look, we can just go ahead and say what they want us to say. And then, you know, we could be done with it. But now, suppose you just turn your back on the law like that, they cut your head off anyway.
Right.
Which probably what they would have done just for you not sticking to what you believe. I believe the time is going to come in this country where we're going to have to make a stand, where the threat of our lives is going to be real in this country like we've never seen it before.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you are encouraged by God's Word and will tune in next time to this station for our Sunday service at Restoration Christian Ministries. Stay encouraged and have a blessed week.